Welcome to the Two Vets Talk Pets podcast, hosted by veterinarians Dr. Lewis Kirkham and Dr. Robbie Anderton, who'll give you the inside scoop on the secret lives of your pets and have a lighthearted look at the latest animal news, health tips, and other random facts. All names of people and pets have been changed for confidentiality, so if a story sounds familiar, don't flatter yourself. Every owner is just as animal crazy as you are. So sit down, place your furry, feathered or scaly best friend on your lap, and it's over to Lewis and Robbie.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 206 of the Two Vets Talk Pets podcast, where too much talking to pets is barely enough. I'm Dr. Robbie Ann, and I'm joined this week by a man who very soon will be coming to a divisional van near you if you are in the Gold Coast. But, you know, what happens on conference stays on conference. It's Dr. Lewis Kirkham. Lewis, how are you going?
Good, Robbie. Good. Are you thinking I'm going to be ordering a kebab late at night outside the the nightclub where the Callum Coleman Jones and Sydney Stack got done for exiting the COVID
bubble.
The bubble, the hub.
The bubble, yes, yeah.
Exiting the hub. Is that what you think I'm going to be doing when I go to my conference next week?
Oh, absolutely, mate. If you're not doing that, if you're not going for a late-night kebab and escaping some sort of bubble, we'd all be, me and the listener would be very, very disappointed. So do you want to tell us about what the conference is, where you're going, just in case any of the listeners want to go up there and, you know, troll you up there?
Well, it is on the Gold Coast, up in Queensland. What the conference on? Wouldn't have a clue, mate. No idea. Just catching up with some mates, and that's what it's about, isn't it? No, yeah. Lots of learning. Learning. I think it's guts and gonads and something else. Guts, something else with G. And great time.
Great times.
Good fun.
Gracious hosts. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be really good. The actual conference. Lewis and I were talking about how I actually didn't realize that the conference was even on because I didn't get an invite because he wants to go up there with his other mates.
To be fair, mate, I mean, between your Fiji, your Bali, mate, I don't know when you're even in the country lately, just traveling the world. And so I just didn't think you'd have that in your schedule. Didn't realize.
Oh, mate, I'd always make room for a Guts and Gonads conference up in the Gold Coast with you, mate.
And good times.
Yeah. And friend of the show, Clint Udelman's up there presenting too. So he's actually presenting a couple of lectures. It's a shame. It would have been good to get up there and
I think the first lecture on the guts aspect is why you shouldn't use metronidazole as first line treatment for diarrhea in dogs in Port Melbourne. So that's a good right up my alley. There we go.
Well, sometimes it's the only way you can try and save those rugs, those expensive Persian rugs. It was white. It's not so. It's a bit of an off white now.
Yeah.
It
has
a bit
like of a Frisian. It looks a bit like a Frisian cow now. if we had to have a description.
Yeah, especially when the poo came out looking cow pad as well. You know, there's an awful lot of, you know, just a little on the sloppy. Anyway, what's been happening with you, mate? Tell us about what's been ringing your bell lately.
Well, there's been a few things going on, actually, as far as sort of work-wise. I've got a query for you while we're on the topic of all things good to eat, which we're not on. But anyway, I had a client come the other day, wanted a dog food for their dog that was free of egg and milk. No egg or milk in it because their child was anaphylactic to eggs and milk.
Whoa, gee
whiz. And I thought, wow, I don't know that. Is there a food, apart from maybe you went your raw meat kind of raw food diet, you know, the old raw meaty bones kind of scenario. Yeah, is there something that you could say that would guarantee it wouldn't have egg or milk in it?
Well, I mean, the only way, certainly not off the top of my head, I mean, you'd have to be, that'd be one of those ringing up the customer service lines and saying, hey, you know, does your diet definitively not have any of this stuff in there? Because I was actually talking about that with friend of the show, Cloudy, today about her. Oh, yeah, sorry, we're just having a little earthquake. Trying to do like an exclusion diet with one of her dogs.
Yes.
And she said, well, what about egg? And I said, well, the hard thing about egg is that egg's still a fairly ubiquitous protein. And so there's a chance that it could be in a lot of stuff in your diet. So, you know, you'd have to check. You know, so off the top of my head, apart from a home-cooked diet, whereas definitely no milk and definitely no egg, Yeah, that'd be it. That is certainly nothing off the top of my head.
No, we could talk to the guys at Delicate Care, couldn't we? Which we could. We will thank them in a minute, but perhaps we could chat about that. But I thought even then, if you said there's none in the food, you're not sure that the supply chain they're on. There's no sort of, you know, somewhere in the background it's been on the conveyor belt before them or whatever it is in the factory. A bit like, yeah, the muesli bar may contain some nuts when it's some sort of muesli bar that doesn't
have nuts.
May contain traces. A bit like that footy game that was on the other movie, Tuke Miller and Dane Zorko, which may contain a small.
That tackle definitely contained, you know, not just traces of nuts.
Small version of nuts, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I thought that was interesting. Good, you were stuck as we were. We just went, look, you're going to have to home cook your own food, I think, really was the best option. And then this week I had a little Dachshund puppy come in to the consult. And, I mean, if I said Dachshund puppy to you and, you know, you'd probably be thinking of one or two things that possibly could be concerning for the owners when they first bring their Dachshund puppy into the first vaccination at 12 weeks of age or 10 weeks of age, whatever it's coming in at. What are your thoughts, mate? What are you sort of thinking might be the two things I'm looking at?
Yeah, so number one is that it doesn't fit into its little bun anymore, you know, the little hot dog bun that it would have came in because it's a sausage dog.
Right, yes. So, yes.
Sorry, I had to paint the full picture there for
three.
You.
Yeah, number three. To Robbie and need number three.
Maybe that it's yapping a lot.
Mm. Yeah. Behavior. Yes, that was one. And then maybe thinking back, just talk about, you know, spinal issues, just for
absolutely
down the track, sort of discussing those. So behavior was certainly high, and the dog was terrified, really, really nervous. One of those dogs that you know, you're like, oh gosh, I really, you know, worry for.
Future visits
for the dog, you know. For general, I'm like, so how's
the dog?
We're sort of chatting, and I was going, oh, you know, have you had us out socializing? And I mean, we do in Port Melbourne because we're in Melbourne and we don't see parvovirus. I do recommend getting their dogs out and walking, like from when they come into the house, really, you know, from whenever they've got them, and so they're getting socialization happening, go to Bunnings, you know, all that sort of stuff that's really good for socialization. And we do it from a young age because we're lucky that we don't.
Risk parvovirus. Factor is low. Yeah,
exactly. And so I was sort of talking about that and socialization. Then I like to investigate. I said, oh, did you, you know, when you went to pick up the dog, did you happen to see mum and dad? Because we do know there's a big genetic component to behavior often that if, you know, traditionally if mum or dad are anxious, then they're likely to throw some genes to some of the puppies that they may have anxiety to. And it was an interesting comment. They said, oh, no, when we went there, we weren't allowed to see the parents at all.
Right.
But they certainly sounded very ferocious. And what does that mean? Oh, God, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean. Whether, you know, and they said, well, we weren't allowed to go into the room where mum and dad were, but you could hear them just going absolutely
ballistic,
mental in the other room. And I was
wow.
So you didn't think that was a... You know, like
a
red flag that maybe, you know, like it was just really, really interesting. And then second to that, then this week I had a Great Dane puppy come.
Right, okay.
Beautiful dog, 8 weeks old and huge. Like,
yep.
It was probably the length of your torso, I suppose. So quite big at 8 weeks. And the owner brought it in. They'd had it, just got it the day before, you know, brought it in, had to have a check for whatever, some sort of breeder guarantee or whatever it is. And the dog came in, and it was literally like it was a scarf on the owner, would not let go of the owner, just like gripping on, holding on,
absolutely
petrified of
everything, of the situation.
Of the owner. And I sort of said, oh, you know, let's pop it on the ground. And she's like, oh, I can't put it down to your parvovirus. I'm worried about, you know, we don't see parvovirus here. The floor has been cleaned, you know, it's fine. So put the dog on the ground and convinced her that was okay. And the dog just hid in the corner under the chair, under her legs, just would not come out. And, and I sort of sat on the floor and I did my usual routine, just sit on the floor, throwing treats, you know, smearing peanut butter all over my glasses, over my bald head, you know, everything, trying to encourage it to come over and say good day to me. And
they can train traces of nuts.
Yeah, certainly. Lots of nuts. On my head.
Yeah.
Crazy. and wouldn't come near me. An interesting sort of another sort of situation with the owner where I said, I'm really, really nervous. Because, I mean, yeah, puppies can be nervous on first visit. Sure, no doubt about it. But I reckon within sort of 15 or 20 minutes of just sitting on the floor, you would expect a puppy would have by then come up to investigate you and then potentially start coming out of the show, even if they're a little bit nervous. Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. But this dog was petrified. And I said, same thing to them. I said, so did you meet mum and dad? Oh, we went to the breeder's place but when we went to the breeder's place, they didn't want us to meet the mum and dad, because they were worried that we had parvovirus on our clothes.
All right, yeah.
And when we would go in to meet mum and dad, we would give parvovirus to the family. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really fun. I said, well, so are these pups had any socialising? Has anyone been to visit them? They said, oh, yeah, they've had lots of friends and family come over and visit all the time. And I was like, oh, so the friends and family don't have parvovirus on their clothes, which is a total furphy for the listener.
Absolutely.
Yes, parvovirus is what we call ubiquitous, and it probably is everywhere. Human parvovirus is. Dog parvovirus is probably on their shoes, probably everywhere. It is about a load amount. We sort of talk about that. If you've got a big poo, a steaming poo, potentially a dog poo, not a human poo, it's probably got a high chance of having some parvovirus in it, more than just on your clothes. And so it was just interesting. There was just two examples of breeders giving their sort of, reasons, excuses as to why we couldn't see mum and dad when you're going to pick up a puppy. And, they're about, oh, we saw lots of photos. They look really cute. It's like, well, photo doesn't really tell you. And we always say, if you're going to pick up a puppy, make sure, meet mum and dad. That's your best chance of knowing what that puppy's going to be like, because genetics is a fair component of what we're going to be like. Mum and dad are lovely. You've got a higher chance of them throwing a puppy that's going to be nice as well. So
100%. And it is interesting. I was talking to someone the other day, and we've mentioned it on the podcast before about how it seems like the overall percentage of anxious dogs that we're seeing now is just so much higher than what it was back 15, 20 years ago, and a lot of that's got to be, selection pressure of, that we're not the parents the sire and the dame, the mum and the dad, we're just not looking for the right attitudes in the litters. But it's all going to come to, it's still all going to be market driven, right? So if you're a consumer looking to buy a puppy, the nice puppies are just as cute as the anxious ones, So maybe you've got to, and like, again, you said it before, we keep on saying it, we'll say it until our noses fall off. Go and meet the parents. If you meet the parents and the parents are anxious, thank you very much. We'll have a think about it. And then you hop back in your car and go, don't take your kids. Don't get emotionally invested in the pups. Even meet the parents before you meet the pups. Because if you meet the parents and then they sound ferocious behind the laundry door, then the Dachshund puppies, as cute as what they're going to look, they're still going to look, the next lot of Dachshund puppies going to look cute too. So,
I think a big part, certainly there's a breeding aspect too, but I reckon the biggest change in the last 20 years is our appreciation of dog body language has come a long way. And in the past, certainly when I first graduated, any puppy that tried to bite you on the consult table, tried to bite me on the consult table, I had it in my head, that was a naughty puppy. That was a naughty little puppy that needed to be told off, If your dog weed inside, it was a naughty dog and you needed to rub their nose in it. So I reckon certainly when I graduated and you went far behind me, I had no idea what an anxious dog looked like. They were just all naughty. They were naughty or dominance. We use dominance. I might talk about this a little bit later. I've got some stuff on humping. So, so I think that's a big part of it as well. And it's funny that, well, not funny, but it's interesting how the way we think about our pets is actually following 10 years behind the way we think about humans.
People.
And people, the way we treat children, certainly You mean, mate, we grew up, spare the rod, spare the child, I'm sure, plenty of times we chased around the house with a wooden spoon, mum or whatever, whoever it was.
And, not me, mate, that, I was a really good kid, but yeah, I can imagine you were.
Yeah, sorry, not you, yeah, of course not you, mate. And those days have changed, and that's exactly how we, change. It's all about feelings and emotions and so our perception of dog stuff has certainly evolved as we have as humans. So I do, certainly, go and meet mum and dad is a big part of it. Doesn't guarantee you're going to get a good dog, but it gives you a really good starting base to go from. So,
if you're going to go and buy a car, you're going to go and test drive the car. Going and meeting mum and dad is your version of test driving a puppy.
We went to test drive some cars once. This is a while ago before we bought the car we got now.
Yeah.
And we went, got a Subaru and test drove the Subaru and it broke down.
Oh, really? Yes,
we were 10 Ks from home down on the freeway. It actually stopped and we had the guy in the car, had the kids in the back, had me and Deb. I was driving it and it broke down and they had to call someone else to come pick us up. It was hilarious. So we're not buying the Subaru.
And did the guy turn around and go, so what do you reckon?
You want to make an offer?
How about I knock $2,000 off?
That's right. I'll throw in a free keychain badge for you and a hat. How does that sound? Does that pull you over the line? Anyway. Then as well as that interesting little interaction. I don't know if you have, you probably lots of times when you're out walking and you see things going on between dogs and you sort of think, oh, you're holding your tongue and you think, oh, I had my time again. Maybe I should have said something. I was walking down the street the other day. I think I was heading to the gym or something and walking on, had my headphones on, listening to probably our podcast, something like that.
Some ABBA.
Or that one that flamed us the other day. What was it? The Imperfects, was it?
Oh, the Imperfects.
Yeah.
I've got some news on that.
No good or something. Oh, ooh, look at you. Anyway, so I was walking along, and there was a guy walking in front of me, two Dobermans. And I thought, it's not often you see someone sort of walking two Dobermans. And, he's got them, pretty well under control. They seem pretty happy. They've got tails.
Oh,
showing
perfect.
Me they're happy. That's new. Yep. That's new. Or not new, but. Fantastic to see, no longer docking the tails. And he sort of walked on, and then sort of along the side street came what could only be described as out of nowhere, a white wolf. So we're talking German Shepherd, German Shepherd, just like big dog, and it's just going and jumping up on its hackles and getting quite upset with these two Dobermans. I thought, oh, okay, all right. Well, that's all right. Everyone was separated. They sort of walked on the way, and there was another guy who happened to be walking along, sort of a stocking-looking guy, and he's turned around and sort of through me, he's yelled at the, you need to get your dog trained, mate. And I was like, what? So I took my headphones off. Oh, here we go. This sounds like fun, And the guy's like, oh, yep. The guy with the white wolf is, And the guy's, you need to get your dog trained. I'm in law enforcement and you need to train your dog. And I was like, oh. So I was sort of, in my head, I was like, and the other guy with the white was like, oh, I'm trying, mate. I'm doing my best trying, And the guy was so aggro. The other guy was so aggro. And in that moment, if I had it again, I wish that I'd sort of said, well, training doesn't fix everything, mate.
Yeah.
Yes, you're in law enforcement, but I'm pretty sure my qualifications might just trump yours. Just look, I'm not saying, I'm a bit older. I've seen a bit more. I might have some further qualifications in behaviour. I might just trump you if we're going to go for that.
Yeah.
But that moment, I thought I really should have said something. But in that moment, I just kept walking. I wanted to go back to the guy and say, hey, mate, the white wolf guy. I go, mate, I know you're doing your best. It's good. It's all right. It's fine. Oh, yeah. Maybe, you do need to get some help, but I can help you just down the road.
Here's my card.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. But I was just that moment where you're like, oh wow, fancy of all the people that could have been there was me.
Yes,
I could have said something, but I didn't. Anyway, there you go.
Mm. Hey, at work we'll have most of the time where we get cards, they're thank you cards after we've put a dog to sleep or something like that. So we'll always send a condolence card and sometimes thank you very much, Robbie, and the team from the Waverley Animal Hospital for all the care you've given us over the years. And so it's great. We got one last week. Dr. Anderton, thank you very much for all the care that you've given Wesley. He's recovering really well. look, oh, how good's this? I showed Lynn, the practice manager, and I go, yeah, look at this. We managed to get a, you know, we've got a card from someone, you know, that's not just associated with euthanasia. How good's this? And Lynn said, oh, which one's that? And I said, oh, it's Wesley. And she's gone, oh, okay, what did he have done? I go, I can't remember. She's gone, oh, because we've got another Wesley who of the same last name who was a cat. And she's gone, oh, was it the cat? No, this is for a dog. That's a bit weird. And so I had a look at the history, and the dogs had a mast cell tumor that you would say that Tuke Miller would be great at being able to diagnose.
Right.
It was just on the scrotum. So mast cell tumor on the scrotum on a on Wesley, who was at that stage was an entire male.
Yes.
And what better place to have a mast cell tumor than on the scrotum, where the skin's been nicely stretched from having two testicles inside.
Yes.
So we went in and we castrated him and did a scrotal ablation. So great way of being able to get good wide margins off the mast cell. Got the results back today, low grade, so you know, really high chance of being able to cure, so that's great. But I'm having a look at the history, and I've realized, oh, I didn't do the surgery. It was Christina. It was the other Dr. Anderton.
The real Dr. Anderton.
How's the ego on this guy? Sees a card for Dr. Anderton automatically. Oh, let me open this one up and pat myself on my back for this great surgery. No, it's the other Dr. Anderton. So anyway, so I had to quickly pop it back in there and seal it up so that she didn't see that someone was reading her mail.
And did you have to sort of, you know, just like start, you know, like you had the chocolates all over your face and like all the, you know, in your mouth and stuff often come with a nice card. You're like, oh, no, and you're sort of trying to wrap them up, you know, spit them out. Christina, the chocolate's here for you. Sorry, sweetie, about that. Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that because I'm in trouble as it is anyway, because I bought one of those little tubs of Magnum ice creams, you know, the ones where you crack the chocolate. You got to rub the side of it and that cracks the chocolate. And Christina came home the other night and said, oh, I'm looking forward to having some of that Magnum. I've gone, yeah, nah, there's not much of that left. How come? Because I finished it last night.
I didn't know there was a thing where the Magnum, where you rub the side of it, and what does it do?
Oh, it just cracks the side of it. It's great.
When you rub it.
Yeah, rub it on the table and you hear it crack. And then you pop the lid off it and then stick your spoon in and away you go. It's great.
Right. Oh, very good. There you go. I haven't seen that. I have to look out for that one. Fantastic. All right. Before we get out of hand, let's thank you very much to Zilkeen, the mild anxiety lowering medication.
Yes.
That we use for cats and dogs. Very good for if you want to try something anxiety with no side effects. It's very safe. You can go a high dose. You can open the capsule. It's very palatable. It comes in some chews now as well.
Absolutely.
So go down to your vet, or it's even at your pet store now. So any anxiety that your pet may have, get into it.
Yeah, we've had some issues with some with an anxious whippet this last week, who's been waking us up in the middle of the night. You know, not wanting to go into her crate because, you know, she's crate trained, and so we've been dousing her with some Zilkeen to try and reduce things down. We're getting some good night's sleep again now, so that's wonderful. So,
what cruel owners they must be that are not allowing their whippet to sleep in the bed with them and enjoy the beautifully cozy areas of the under the duck filled down doona. And who would be such terrible owners as to deny their whippet, said whippet, such comfort, mate? Is that someone at work?
Me?
Or
absolutely me, 100% me.
I didn't mean any of that, mate. Sorry.
Take that back.
Whoops.
That's exactly the look that Sage gives me as I try and shoehorn her into her crate now. You know, like she's always been able to wiggle her way into the like, it's not a huge crate, but she's also not a huge dog, but she's always been able to get in there fine. But now she's somehow managing to make herself very, very tall and very rigid to stop herself from getting put into her crate. So
sounds like you need to work on the crate training, mate, just from my behavior hat I've got on, that perhaps needs to be a more enjoyable environment for her to go into, that maybe feeding her near it, throwing treats in there, taking back to the train. It sounds like she's not as a nice, fun place to sleep in. Even better option is you could put the crate in your bedroom, and then when she starts going and happy, then you gradually move the crate a couple of inches every second day out of the bedroom back to where you want it to go. Anyway, mate, I don't want to get into your house and judge.
No. That's you've hit plan B and C on the head, but we've gone for plan Zilkine. Z at the moment, which is plan Zilkine.
Zilkine, very nice. Yeah. And the food you could use, any ideas of food you could use, a little bit of a trail to get her, encourage her to go, something tasty, something locally made, Australian made.
Something that's not going to upset her gut or her skin.
Exactly. Yes, you're onto it.
Possibly some delicate care. Is that where we're going with this?
Yes, mate. Very good. We love delicate care. Big supporters of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, why would you feed your dog and cat anything else than something that's come out of that wonderful purpose-made factory? The export quality produce that's used, that comes out of that factory in the wonderful Republic of Western Australia, out of the delicate care factory. You know, what a great range they've got. All Australian made. Everything is human grade. You know, there's a new ad that's coming out on, you know, or at least on the it's been advertised on the replays of Survivor that we're watching. That's going human grade food in our. Why would you feed your pet anything other than human grade? And I've gone, and the kid's gone, what's wrong? Is it bad that it's human grade? I said, no, everything that goes in is going to be human grade, especially in delicate care.
And seeing them going to the Guts Conference, hopefully they'll have a stand up there. And look, if I am a bit peckish one night maybe and I'm looking for a meal with my mates, that maybe they might just go, Lewis, can you come along with us and we'll supply with a nice little dinner at one of the fancy little restaurants just up there on the Gold Coast and a couple of nice bottles of wine. And you come along with us, Lewis, and that'll be on us for being such a wonderful supporter of the show. Thanks, guys, if you're listening.
Completely really independent. It. Yeah, we're completely independent advice. Yeah.
No, that's right. It'd just be a friendly catch-up. There are no inducements at all that I have to declare to to the fringe benefits department, department at all.
Go to a restaurant and get some Peking duck or maybe a little bit of kangaroo pie or something like that.
Kangaroo steak. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We might well be. I have to wait and see when I get up there, definitely. And also a big thank you to our Patreon supporters.
Of course. We
love you guys hanging thick and thin with us. You guys do essentially pay our subscription that we for Zoom.
Yes.
So thank you very much. It really keeps us ticking along. Now, speaking of food, mate.
Yes.
And, as if, you know, delicate care, fantastic. As if we needed another reason not to feed dogs bones, mate. Here is an article that's awesome. From The Age. The local Age about, you know, that another reason that we should not be feeding our pets bones. We talk about this often on the podcast.
Yes.
The title of this article is Dogs in the US Getting Sick After Eating Joints.
Right. Joints. Yes. Be careful. Careful with the joints.
Yes, that's right. Another reason not to eat those bones. They're nasty, those bones. And so,
especially the ends of them, the joints part.
Yeah. Bondi, an 8-month-old toy poodle.
That's just ironic.
Returned from a walk when he began stumbling.
Right.
His head wobbled and soon he could barely stand. So his owner, Colleen Briggs, rushed him to the vet. The good doctor quickly made a diagnosis. Bondi was stoned. What? What's that with eating bones?
You mean biblically? Like was this like a crowd and a, you know, up on an altar and then, you know, getting
Sharia
bludgeoned with rocks?
This is not where I thought it was. On his walk, a sniff must have led Bondi to a discarded joint.
Must have been while he was on the walk.
I thought it was a hock or something, a discarded hock or like an Osso Buco or something like that, which he ate. He was just doing his usual, exploring everything, sniffing everything, said Briggs, who herself was wearing some big sunglasses. And she's in the photo. I'll just show you the photo. There she is.
Oh, look at that.
She's wearing a big pair of sunglasses for somebody who's inside.
Any, Can you see any bloodshot eyes there through the through the, or are they tinted enough that you
very
can't?
Very thick, very thick.
Yeah, gotcha. Glasses. Okay, yeah. While she's holding Bondi there, can you see any sort of twisties or cheezels powder on her fingers, like she's been hungry or you've been munching on anything?
Interesting, because the second photo, there's a bowl of ice cream with some tomato sauce on it. So I'm just wondering. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Things.
Some pretty, yeah, you think there might
some
be
cravings,
a little
might
bit crazy, some hunger. It's definitely some hunger.
She might be pregnant, Lewis. You don't jump to conclusions.
Fair enough. Yeah, good point. He was just doing his usual exploring everything, sniffing everything, said Briggs, who began to notice the pot shops sprouting up around New York City. I must have a lot of a plant culture, a lot of
plants.
potting plants and that sort of thing. Yep. And yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that was a new thing in New York.
Medicinal shrubbery, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. The frequent whiffs of marijuana.
Right.
While circling her Manhattan neighborhood and the unfinished joints now littering sidewalks. Hang on a sec. She's not talking about. Is this about marijuana?
Oh my goodness! Is this about drugs?
Did I get this?
You might have done. Yeah. Oh my goodness! Because this is something that an innocent, nubile young man like yourself wouldn't know all that much about.
A nubile?
I don't know. It was a descriptive word that popped in my head. It was probably inappropriate for right then, but you know, why not? Let's run with it.
That's fantastic, mate. That's thank you very much. I don't think I've ever been described as
well. Yeah, I mean, you've shaved down, mate. So the fact that you're looking.
don't give away behind the third wall that I'm recording you with nothing on, mate. If you get it. Tell everyone I'm wearing no clothes and I'm nubile. That's all a bit much. excellent. It's the frequent whiffs of marijuana while circling her Manhattan neighborhood and the unfinished joints now littering sidewalks. In places like New York City, where the first legal recreational pot dispensary opened last year, users can smoke it in the open. As a result, more dogs are coming across and eating discarded joints and edibles, prompting alarm among veterinarians and pet owners who blame the steep rise in poisonings on smokers oblivious to the harm they could do by littering. Oh, sure. Reminds me of the consult you have where you got the dog that's obviously stoned and you have mum and dad's come in and they brought their teenage child with them and you're going, is there any access to any drugs? We don't care. Illegal. I don't care. I just need to know to treat your pet. And there's no, nothing at all. Yep. And you go, oh, all right. Look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Miffy out the back in a minute. But mum and dad, you ever just go out the front? Can you just sign the consent form out the front? The nurse will be there. And then Tommy, mate, you just come with me for a little bit. And we're just going to have a little chat out the back. And you can just fill me in on what actually is going on when mum and dad's not around. Do you have a few of those?
I've never had one as brazen as having the kids come in with dreadlocks and wearing a Snoop Dogg hoodie. It's never been quite that obvious. The last hash puppy that I had was a dog that for all intents and purposes looked stoned, and for the first 13 and a half minutes of the 15-minute consult, there is no way that dog could have had access to marijuana. And then for the last minute and a half, the chances that it possibly may have, I don't know, could have, I've got a housemate and I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, walking around. Oh, maybe there was something, mate, going on. I don't know. He's a new housemate. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the diagnosis became a little bit more solid. That the dog might have been eating, joints rather than bones.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We had some neighbours down the road, I don't know, mate. You might describe them as nubile gentlemen.
That were
living down the road. Best friends for a long time.
Yes, very good.
The two guys have been living together and, And they, one of them came up and said, there's something wrong with, I think it was Oscar was their dog, so a while ago. Deb was home. I was at work. And Deb looked at Oscar and said, oh, it does look like Oscar's under the influence of something. There couldn't be any marijuana in, anything like that. And Deb's not a vet, but
no,
she's well-versed in, yeah. in certain things. That
she knows a stone dog when she sees a stone dog.
That's right, yeah. Exactly. New bile could be a word with the Jesus. I'll have to look that up later. I'm not sure what that, but thank you. And went home and said, oh, I'll get Lewis to come down when he gets home from work. And so anyway, came back about an hour later to see Deb, and he's got this empty little plastic bag, and he's sort of shaking it to Deb, and he's gone, hey Deb, check this out. And Deb's like, what is that? She's gone, these were some cookies we had, some little edibles we had. So,
right.
Like, there you go. Got into it. And it is sweet tasting, isn't it, marijuana? So, it is something we do see from now to then. Well, I've heard.
Yeah, potentially. Dogs. Allegedly. Read it in an article.
To dogs. To Newbile.
To Newbile canines.
It's sweet tasting. So,
right.
So, certainly something to look out for if you're in an area where there's now been legalization of marijuana, something to look out for. Now,
Don't litter.
Yes.
Don't litter your joints and your edibles. Finish them off.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All righty. We move on to disclaimer.
Yeah, sure. I don't have it in front of me, so let me see how we go. All advice on this podcast is general in nature, so please consult your own veterinarian. You know, if you need any further advice or clarification. And don't litter. We do our best to provide the most up-to-date information, but it's because the veterinary world and literature changes so much, maybe things might change, like the disclaimer.
And if your dog's cat sick, don't listen to us, go and see your vet.
We're podcast vets.
Yeah, exactly. If the legal department's listening, that was close enough. Thank you.
Close enough, right. Yes.
We'll be fine. We don't need ChatGPT to write another one.
No.
Now, this is, I thought, we got a bit of time. Hopefully we've got some time.
Yes.
I don't know what we're up to. Humping in dogs. Now, we haven't talked about this for a while, have we?
Oh, it's a perennial favourite.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I often get questions about it. And it's a really good article from the Whole Dog Journal.
Right.
.com. There's hyphens in there if you want to look it up. Whole-dog-journal.
Right. Okay. Good one. An illustrious tome.
Not an M-dash, a hyphen, just for those, fellow authors out there. Not a word that you might have come across. I mean, you're obviously quite the wordsmith today with Newbile.
That's a Sesame Street word of the day is Newbile.
Newbile, yeah. Okay. You may be embarrassed by your dog's proclivity to mount other dogs, cushions, or pieces of furniture, or even humans.
You, yes.
You are not alone. Dogs all over the world can be seen wrapping their front paws around what seems to us to be inappropriate targets and thrusting their pelvis in what appears to be sexual behavior. Mounting and or humping is a natural, normal canine behavior.
Right.
And it's not just male dogs who mount. Female dogs do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that humans all over the world tend to get upset about. Sadly, many caretakers see the behaviour as grossly unacceptable and their dogs may suffer for it. Such was the case.
Well, that's because from anthropomorphising, it's not something that you would expect humans to be running around and doing in a socially acceptable way.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Taken. thanks for tips and tricks and Robbie. Will
tips and
there.
Tricks.
New segment. Don't go around humping
social
people.
Social niceties with Robbie.
Yeah. I like it. It's very
two,
nice.
Two vets talk inappropriate human behaviours.
Oh, yeah. Good at that. Such was the case late March when a North Carolina couple surrendered Fezco, their 5-year-old 50-pound male shepherd mix, to their local shedder because they had observed him mounting another male dog and were aghast at the thought of having a gay dog in their home.
I was hoping that wasn't where you were going to go with it, but,
goodness. Well, I'm just reading what it says.
Just reading the facts.
The uneducated owners, that's a good way to describe it, were apparently unaware that while there are a number of reasons why dogs hump other dogs, being gay is not considered to be one of them.
No.
Happily, when this story made national news, the dog found a forever home with a gay couple elsewhere in North Carolina.
Perfect.
Nice.
Perfect.
Very
yes.
nice. Exactly. The misinterpretation is somewhat understandable. Humping sure looks like sex. But tip from Robbie, just a social tip, not for humans in public.
No.
But reproduction is only one of the many reasons your dogs may mount dogs, humans, or objects. And those reasons are far more common than the intent to breed. And then we go on. These are the reasons they do it. One.
Yes.
Breeding, reproduction.
Oh, of course. There we go.
Yes, of course. There we go.
Number
it's
one.
The name's in the word.
It's can't get humping. Dogs without it.
Yeah. If you're intentionally trying to have your female dog impregnated, you're happy to have them humping.
Yeah.
If not, manage the behavior by separating the dogs until the female's heat period is done. Fair call.
Yep.
Then talk to your vet about de-sexing them. Nice.
Good
this
idea.
It's good. This is the facts. Play. Yes, friends, this can be a normal part of play interaction between dogs, including but not limited to puppies. As long as both puppies are enjoying the play and the mounting isn't excessive to the point it becomes oppressive to the mountee, you can leave them alone and let them play. And that's important as well. So you have some dogs that just continually mount the other dogs to the point where they get really upset and it's yeah. You know, almost bullying type behavior. That's when you got to get in there and, separate. Exactly.
Separate.
Encourage the mounting dog to get off and have a bit of quiet time. We'll talk about that in a minute. Other reasons, stress and or anxiety. Your dogs may mount other dogs or whatever as a means to relieve stress. You'll see this most often in dogs who tend to be stressed. Yes, that's understandable. Again, there's no real harm in allowing the behavior in the moment, but you could do well to reduce the dog's stress in the dog's world and address the generalized anxiety so he no longer feels the needs to mount to try and relieve his stress. Mm. So look for the underlying cause. What are they stressed about? Are they at the dog park, surrounded by lots of other dogs that's actually just freaking them out a little bit? They're not having the best of time. Are they in the environment? Somebody's coming to the house that they're not sure about. Something like that.
We had a look
at the underlying cause.
We had a dog that is a cavy that had arthritis, so he's always coming in for the Pentasan injections, the PS gag injections, and he loved coming to the clinic. He would get himself so excited, but I always thought, hang on, is this excitement or is it a bit of stress?
Anxious excitement.
That's right. You've said it in the podcast before that those dogs where you give them the liver treats and it's like they eat them before they hit the floor, they're just like, oh my God,
snatching them.
And he was forever testing the strength of the my pant legs whenever he came in.
Right.
Constantly checking to make sure that there was adequate stitching running down the seam, and thankfully there was, but it didn't stop him from checking every month whether he came in towards the end because he was quite arthritic and loved his liver treats and, would get himself so worked up that, he'd be very, very, aroused. From that stress,
just anxious and stressed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, wow. Actually, it reminds me. It's speaking illegal substances. I remember being at a party once where obviously there was a little bit of some fun being had by some of the members of the party, and there was a group who were partaking in something that perhaps.
Falls outside of the boundaries of potential legality.
And so we're at this person's house, and the owner of the house, but obviously their daughter had taken something, and she actually passed out, which is a sometimes side effect of the substance. And she was lying on the ground, and her family dog then proceeded to come over and hump her. And not being a vet and not being educated as I was, we did all think that was quite hilarious, despite the fact that the owner of the dog was passed out on the floor. And we probably should have rendered some assistance of thought. It was interesting that the dog found that quite a stressful moment, I think, that the owner was no longer had unfortunately passed out. So
lucky that scenario. Happened in 1984 as well, before people had camera phones.
That's so true, mate. That is so true. Yes, very true. Anyway. Excitement or arousal, which is what you sort of touched on. Some dogs are inclined to mount when they get overexcited. For example, when visitors arrive at your home, you can manage this by putting your dog away in another room before or when people arrive and bringing it back out on a leash when things have settled down. Keep him on leash for controlled greetings, like restrain him so he can't mount visitor's leg, and let him off the leash only when he's over his initial excitement. And it's interesting. I remember one of my very first behavior house call consultations I did. It was, it must be 25 years, it must be 20-odd years ago when I first went. And I went out to see this dog out in a lovely home in Toorak, which is, for the listener out there, is a beautiful part of Melbourne. They're very lovely houses, very, very twee and nubile part of Melbourne.
Champagne enemas. Champagne enemas.
Right. Yep. Yes. And I went to see this dog, and I had some behavior issues going on. I made the mistake of, it was my first consult, so I was nervous, but not showing it, trying to show my, confidence and bravado. And walked in and made the mistake of greeting the dog when it came to the door and saying hello to it. He probably, excited, hi, Oscar, how you going? And then when I sat down, the dog, for the whole 2 hours of the consultation, proceeded to hump my leg for two hours. And it didn't matter. I'd liver treats. I'd throw the liver treats. The dog go and eat, consume the liver treats, and then come straight back, bang, hump my leg again. And in my head, I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't know what I'm doing here. I've got no idea. I can't get this dog to stop humping my leg. And I then later learned over years of experience that I think a big part of it was actually ignore dogs when I first go into their home now to do behavior calls, and that makes a really big difference. It just sets a real boundary with the dog that there's no interaction from me. You can do what you like to me, but I don't give you anything. And then when you're calm and you're relaxed and you're I've talked to the owners for a while and you seem quite relaxed, then I will call you over and we'll do some sitting and take some treats. And so there's a real good, consistent interaction. Whereas this dog, I think I'd greeted it beautifully at the door. It was so happy to see me, thought I was a playmate. And then I sat down and try and concentrate with the owner to talk about things. It's like, hang on a sec, you're giving me mixed signals here. What's going on? And then I started rewarding the behavior by throwing the treats. So I was just really getting myself deeper in.
You going in there and greeting him that way and then sitting down in his favorite guest chair was then just tacit approval to say, oh, terrific, thank you very much. Now I know what I got to do next. Bang.
It was a classic situation, I think, where we sat down, I sort of opened up my notes to start taking notes. Got the pen out, licked the end of the pen.
Yeah.
All righty. Now
dipped it in the inkwell and
I've remembered its name, Hudson. What seems to be the problem with Hudson? They're licking the tip, getting ready to write, and the owner's gone, exactly what he's doing there. And he's stuck on my leg, humping away. I was like, okay, I can see the problem. Don't need a video for me. I've got this sorted.
Can you describe the behavior?
Right there. Other causes for it are attention seeking. Dogs are pretty good at figuring out what they need to do to get what they want. That might be a little bit of a said whippet that maybe wants to get in the bed, mate.
That is exactly what she wants.
If they want your attention and you hustle over to stop them every time they mount someone or something, or even laugh at them, mission accomplished. The game is on, just like the dog who learns to pick up forbidden objects, so you'll chase after them. The answer, find a different way to intervene when intervention is called for. So strike them onto something else if you need to, move them away, get them to sit, perhaps go to a mat or a certain area. Final one, and this would be probably not the final one. Two more to go. Two to go. This one, masturbation.
Okay, right.
This can be due to a medical issue, a urinary tract infection, or allergies, perhaps that cause the dog private parts to be itchy or painful.
Wow. So they've described that as that's a bit weird. You could
get itchy, mate, and think.
Penile pruritus. Itchy. I would describe it as.
Yes. I would say it's a medical reason. I wouldn't class masturbation and itchy.
No.
Dermatitis as similar sort of thing. I don't know. Yeah. Although when young boys, I suppose, particularly when they're sort of having a scratch, that you might just everything okay there. Is that something? Yeah. Anyway. medical issues.
I was going to say another couple of things. I thought, you know what? I think let's move on. it's not going to get any better.
So medical issue, but I reckon they're separate. There's a medical issue. Yes, I get a medical issue of being itchy and doing it, but then there's also it feels good. I think so. It's good to get them checked by a vet. Look, sometimes if they're humping a cushion or a teddy bear or something they really like, it's okay to let them do that. I mean, why can't they enjoy themselves? Yeah, that's what
just
they're doing.
Draw a curtain so that your nana doesn't have to watch, and it's okay.
What's wrong with nana watching?
Well, just in case nana has a problem with it. That's all.
Right.
Nana might be a prude. Nana might be into it. I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on. Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yep.
I think that's a really rare one. I don't know if that happens so often, but something to look out for. And then you need a vet to come out and have a look, I think. First thing to understand is it's not dominance.
No.
There is a fairly widespread misconception that mounting behavior is about being dominant. It's not. In behavior science, dominance is about gaining access to a mutually desired resource. It's not about oppressing the other dogs in the social group. Sometimes one dog gets to be dominant in an interaction because they want the resource more and are less willing to defer. Sometimes the other dog gets a resource. Mounting has nothing to do with gaining access to a resource. So what do you do about it? Just because mounting is a natural, normal behavior doesn't mean you have to put up with your dog humping everything in sight. There are things you can do to decrease his need and opportunity to mount. Number one, rule out or treat any possible medical contributors to the behavior. So go to your vet. Yep. Check by vet. Maybe a urine sample.
Check a urine sample. They'll have a look at the PP and have a check and make sure that there's no signs of, masturbationitis signs around the
bruising, as Dane Zorko had quite severely. Increase the amount of exercise your dog gets. Well, that's an interesting one. Look, I think that's helpful. Certainly enriching your dog more can help with anxiety. Yeah. So, walks could certainly help with that, and allowing them to sniff and explore their environment off lead walks. And that's certainly a big part of reduction of anxiety and stress, definitely. Look for other ways to reduce your dog's stress. Manage his exposure to things that might worry him, people coming over. Get rid of any stresses you're able to. This might mean if using shock collars, choke collars, verbal or physical punishments.
Yep. Take all of that and chuck it in the bin.
Exactly. Use counter conditioning and desensitization by carefully pairing high-value reinforcers with things that worry him to change his opinion of the stressor. So if someone comes over, maybe a bit stressed, a bit worried about them, getting us to sit on the lead, taking food rewards at a distance from the person, it might help a little bit too. For dogs that mount others too persistently in play, occasionally use a positive interrupt. This is really good for the dog at the park that just will continue to keep humping and humping the other dogs and just won't leave them alone. The idea is to move him away from the other dogs and give him several minutes of quiet time to reduce his arousal level. If you cheerfully interrupt every time your dog becomes too much of a pest to his playmates, he may learn to self-modulate his mounting behavior. At least you can use it to easily let him calm down while giving his play pals a break as needed. So call them over, give them a food reward, get them to sit, watch for a little bit, then release them back and to playing with the other dogs. And I think that's a big issue I see certainly at doggy daycare stuff. Is there a lot of dogs that don't get that chance to get away? So, they're often just harassed and continually mounted by dogs in the enclosure and chased around. And there's a lot of that sort of bullying behavior. So that's what creates a few issues. So it is important to give us a little bit of quiet time if we're getting a bit overwhelmed. If you haven't already committed, get your dog to some good manners training. So just some general training would be great. Yep. I think that's really good. The more he responds to cues for a variety of behaviors, the more easily be able to ask him for alternative incompatible behaviors when he gets that humping gleam in his eye. Plus, the better the two of you can communicate, the less stressful his life is for both of you. And remember, the less stressed he is, the less likely he is to mount. Finally, get ready to make some judgment calls. You want to be able to determine which of your dog's mounting behaviors might be innocuous and allowed to continue, and which need intervention and or behavior modification assistance. Your friends will be relieved when they can come visit without having intimate relations with your dog, and your dog and his friends will be happy that he can engage in normal play activities. So there you go, humping mate. Done.
Is there anything in there, Lewis, about potential topics that you can talk to the person with at the dog park while your two dogs are trying to hump each other. You know, and you've got that that awkward time of where, you know, your dog's humping the other person's dog. Is there anything about, you know, any potential sort of conversational topics that you can be talking about with the other owner just to try and help to break the ice while, you know, the dogs are, you know, having their way with each other?
Oh, I'd probably say, look, my dog's just so dominant and yours is a submissive little dog and, look, yeah, just needs to toughen up a bit probably.
Yeah.
That'd be good blokey chat.
That'd be a good way to go.
Rather than going, oh, I think my dog's stressing your dog a little bit. I'm just going to call them off and over here. How's that sound, hey? That might work a little bit better. Something like that. Would that work, do you reckon?
It might be a little bit better. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, whether or not, yeah, you'd be maybe share some recipes or something like that, or, you know, like, yeah, maybe, you know, just talk about, you know, just different things that might help to, yeah, I don't know, try and deal with that.
Baseball stats, would that be a good one?
That'd be great.
Just talk some wiffle ball stats and
just like, oh, hang on, it looks like. Looks like he's just hit third base. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Oh, I didn't say bases. That's very good, mate. I like what you've done there. That's very nice. All righty, guys.
I'm a professional, mate. I'm a professional.
You are a professional. Professional catcher, I've heard.
Yeah, well, right? There you go.
If you've got any questions about humping your dog or Robbie's baseball stats or what each of the bases mean, then you can get onto us, twovetstalkpets@gmail.com. You can find Robbie's on you're on X, aren't you, mate, now?
X. Yes. Yeah, that's the Tesla man's.
Exactly.
The Tesla man's tweeting stuff.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Yes.
Now known as Symbol X, a bit like Prince. I think we're going down maybe that path.
Yeah, right.
And so Robbie's on X. You can find him on X. He's also on that new one that's with Instagram. I can't remember what it's called, but you're on that one too. Mate. What was that?
I'm sure I am. Yes. Yeah. Not sure, but I am definitely on it.
Yeah. Excellent. And so we are on the socials. And so you can get onto us there. If you've got any questions, we do like a question or two, and we're more than happy to answer them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get in touch. Now, just as a, you know, for any of the listeners that decided to wait until the end of the podcast, you know, here's a nice little tidbitty for you. So Lewis and I, because we're incredibly mature, when we sign off after we've, peace out and scratch you later and all that sort of stuff, and we go, hey, how was that? That was great. No problems. What are you up to tonight? Oh, we're going to make some pizzas. I'm going to the footy and all that sort of stuff. Whenever we go to click off the Zoom, we usually then try and make a, what could only be described as a juvenile, motion with our microphones to each other, and that's the last image before the Zoom call ends. Now, the problem with that, Lewis, is that recently we've had parent-teacher interviews, and they've all been done on Zoom.
Old habits die hard, mate.
So we're talking to we had the microphone, talking to one of the kids' teachers, and we go, okay, yeah, no problems, thank you very much. Right, well, that's right. If you got any problems, let us know. I know everything's going great, no problems. Okay, see you later. I've got to go on to my next one. Bye. And they've got it, and I've instantly just conditioned myself to just go, bye.
Do the little inappropriate juvenile little gesture. I had a similar one, exactly the same, mate. Similar, I had a professional meeting with other colleagues, behaviour comments. I was like, all right, guys, we'll see you later. I was like, I can't do that. That's being recorded. I can't do that. So anyway, there you go. That's
dynamite.
Behind the third wall. Anyway, guys, all righty. We'll scratch you later.
Peace out. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Two Vets Talk Pets with Lewis and Robbie. To chat further about this week's episode or ask the guys any questions, search Two Vets Talk Pets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or send an email to twovetstalkpets@gmail.com. You can find Lewis on Twitter with the handle @vetbehaviorist, and more importantly, as the two pet heroes return to their day job of saving animals' lives, be sure to thank them with a 5-star review on iTunes. Every time you do, a small, cute animal will receive a cuddle.